Well, hello there, and welcome to another edition of the DVD Marquee, a long-awaited edition for some of you out there, our faithful listeners. My name is Jeffrey Rosato, and I want to thank you for tuning in. And the title of this podcast is kind of ironic for this edition of the show because we're not going to talk about any DVDs. It's Oscar time. At the time of this recording, we're a day away from the 2007 Academy Awards, and since my co-host Dan Williams is taking some time off to do some projects near and dear to his heart, he will be off for the next two to three shows. I look forward to having my partner back with me sometime in the middle of March. But right now, I want to bring on a very special friend of mine, longtime friend of mine named Scott McCauley. And I wanted to bring him on and get his thoughts on who he felt would be the victors at the 2007 Academy Awards. So right now, here is a conversation between me and my good friend Scott McCauley as we talk Oscar 2007. Listen, let's get right down to it. 79th Annual Academy Awards this coming Sunday, and I want to start off with a bit of trivia that amazed me when I first looked at it. This is the first time in the history of the Oscars that all five Best Actor nominees were not in a film nominated for Best Picture.
I did not know that. You got one up on me there.
It's amazing, and you know, one of the reasons why I created this show was for people like you and me who don't go to the movies very often, and you know, we're gonna be honest with everybody here. We have not seen hardly any of the nominees except for maybe home video and what have you. But you know, I think it was a pretty good year for film, but there were still some things missing. I don't know if you've had a chance to see a movie called Brick yet, but that was one of my favorites and completely shut out. And I really wish that United 93 had gotten more than, say, a Tolkien nomination for Best Director for Paul Greengrass. That's an excellent movie if you haven't seen it, by the way.
Well, I'd like to give some special recognition to Pan's Labyrinth. At least they're making some. They're making some effort to include as many films as they can and not just the ones right. That are more popular.
Exactly. Okay, let's go ahead and start off with a category that most shows like ours don't really pay attention to, but maybe they have in recent years. Best Animated Feature Film, we have Cars, Happy Feet, and Monster House. I'm going to turn the floor over to you. Your thoughts on that category.
Well, my personal opinion on that is I think it's kind of a cop out from the Academy to do this, because I remember back in the days of Beauty and the Beast and when that was being considered for Best Picture and it didn't even get nominated, and I always thought, well, you know, just because it's animated it shouldn't be limited, and it seems like to placate the people out there they came up with the Best Animated Feature. I'm okay with it. I'm glad that there's animation getting recognized, but I figured, you know, I think that I'd like to see movies, all movies, no matter what they are, get nominated for Best Picture. I'd like to see Monster House get it because I think it had a better use of the graphics, of the computer graphics, but I'm afraid that Pixar is going to take this one with Cars. It was just more delightful, I think.
You know, I haven't seen Happy Feet, but I've heard great things about it. I'm in total agreement with you on Monster House because that, you know, was just, it pushed the envelope a little bit, you know. I don't want to put down Pixar or anything like that, but, you know, there's a familiarity to their style and all that.
That's a very good way to put it.
But that being said, I thought Cars was one of the best movies of last year. I mean, it just warmed my heart. It was beautiful to look at, beautifully cast. I thought Paul Newman deserved an award as the Hudson Hornet myself. I would have nominated him in Best Actor before maybe one of the nominees already in there whose name will go mentionless. But I'm going to go ahead and go with Cars myself. It's not only my personal favorite, but I do believe that John Lasseter is going to have another trophy to put on his shelf.
You would think after this, Benny, he'd get tired of doing this, but I don't know if you can get tired of getting too many Oscars.
Let's go ahead and go to the best director category, if we could. And we all know that this has got to be Martin Scorsese's year. I mean, he should have won it years ago for movies like Goodfellas and The Last Temptation of Christ. and Gangs of New York. But, you know, The Departed has gotten a lot of major awards in terms of a top 10 list and critical awards. And I just believe it's going to be a no-brainer this year for Martin Scorsese.
I'll have to agree with you on that one. He's come a long way since Last Temptation. You know, that movie and all the threats he got against his life really put a lot of stress on him. He had several heart issues and maybe a few heart attacks, some nervous breakdowns. And I think that, he's just had hit after hit after hit with Gangs of New York and The Aviator. And I just don't think that they can ignore him anymore. And I think it's hands down he's going to win this.
Well, you're up on me. You were talking about me being up on you in terms of trivia. I had no idea about the heart issues and stuff like that. So it sounds like they better hurry.
Well, he had a lot of stress as a result of all the death threats from Last Temptation of Christ. And
wow.
So he had a lot of I don't know if they were heart attacks. They were, you know, I think probably more panic attacks and things like that.
Yeah.
So that was probably his low point of his career with health wise. And then he's come back in such a monstrous way. There's just no way that he can be ignored.
You know, Scott, the only thing that I can see is Clint Eastwood is an Oscar darling, you know, with Unforgiven and Million Dollar Baby. But then again, I was listening to one of the morning talk shows saying that, you know, Eastwood has already won quite a bit of gold from the Academy, and they like to spread things out. And about the only other person I can see coming up and maybe being a spoiler would be Paul Greengrass, if they wanted to award something for United 93, but since it didn't get a lot of multiple nominations, I really don't see how anybody could come on top of this category except Scorsese.
I agree with you on that, Jeff, and I think that Eastwood is a good second choice. You don't do war movies on a small scope, and usually a war movie is on grand scale. You've got a lot to work with, a lot to direct, and a lot to shoot.
Right.
Spielberg won with Saving Private Ryan as best director, mm-hmm. and that was just a massive movie on a grand scale. And I think that it would be a good bet to think that Eastwood would get it, but I'm with you. He's gotten enough. He's had his time. And I think people will want to see Scorsese get it.
Let's move on to Best Supporting Actress. I am really torn between Abigail Breslin and Jennifer Hudson, but if it were, now I've seen both of the films. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to see Dreamgirls, but Jennifer Hudson, for somebody who's never acted before, just gave one of the most charismatic, most emotional, most entertaining performances I've ever seen.
I think Jennifer is probably another hands-down candidate. My only problem is that of all of the toss-up categories that there have been, Best Supporting Actress seems to be just a crapshoot. We all remember how we thought that Gloria Stewart was going to get it for Titanic, and then Kim Basinger comes out of nowhere and takes it. So
I hear you, and I was thinking about Lauren Bacall and The Mirror Had Two Faces. Everybody thought that she was going to win it, but it went to Juliette Binoche for The English Patient, if I remember correctly.
Right, and Marissa Tomei for My Cousin Vinny.
Right. So who are you picking, Scotty?
I'd go for Jennifer Hudson.
I hear you there. I mean, there's some great talent in this category other than Jennifer and Abigail, who I thought was just superb in Little Miss Sunshine. She's got a great future ahead of her, but Kate Blanchett, Adriana Barazar from Babel, I've heard great things about that film, and Renko Kitrushi, I hope I got that name right, also for Babel, and, you know, great category, but Jennifer Hudson is just a scene stealer, and I do believe that this is probably, even though it's kind of a risky category, you never know what's going to happen, I'm still going to go with Jennifer. Now, let's see.
Well, you know, Jeff, and let me applaud you on your taking that risk and pronouncing some of these people's names, because I wasn't going to go there. That's why you do what you do, and I do what I do. I mean, you seize the moment and you say these names. I would not have tried.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. You know, I don't have an Associated Press guide here in front of me, but fingers crossed. And, of course, if any representatives of those nominees whose names that I have butchered, please write me here at the show at the email address provided on our website. Anyway, moving on. Best Supporting Actor. We've got Eddie Murphy, Alan Arkin, Jackie Earle Haley. God, whoever thought that guy would make a comeback? Damon Hunzu and Mark Wahlberg. Probably one of the best categories of talent this year, but I do believe that Oh, man, this is a tough one, Scott. I do believe that I am going to go for an upset here. I've been a fan of Alan Arkins for many, many years, and he just gave a terrific performance in Little Miss Sunshine, and he's so good that you feel his presence even when he's not on the screen. And that's for some of you who have seen the movie. That's kind of like an inside joke, but, you know, it's that good. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I guess we're gonna part ways here on this one. Here is a sentence I never thought I would hear myself saying, but I believe Eddie Murphy will get Best Supporting Actor.
Complete agreement with that sentence. You know, I loved him in Dreamgirls. I thought he was fantastic. He's got a great singing voice. It matches his capacity for drama and comedy. I've always felt Eddie could have been a really good dramatic actor. He's made some great films along those lines from time to time, which really didn't get a lot of notice. But I wonder if he's kind of shooting himself in the foot by not doing the press thing, and also maybe, you know, there's been a couple of comments that he was standoffish at the Globes and the Screen Actors Guild. I didn't think so personally. I think it was just Eddie being Eddie, but, you know, I've been a fan of his ever since he came on and blew Charles Rocket out of the water on Saturday Night Live as this 18-year-old kid that the staff really didn't want to appear on camera. I'm a huge Eddie Murphy fan. Love Eddie Murphy. But I'm going to go ahead and go with Alan Arkin, but it would not surprise me at all, and I'll still be applauding if Eddie does take the gold on Sunday, because he is that good.
Well, he could just be a little bit angry that Norbit didn't get more notice by the Academy.
But you win some, man, you lose some. Anyway, we're getting close to the big categories here, Scott. Well, actually, the biggest out of all that we're covering. We've got Best Actress, and, you know, need we say more than Helen Mirren? You know, I have not seen the film yet, but, oh, I'm so looking forward to it. The Queen, great press, classy lady. I mean, who else can you go with? And when you manage to outshine Meryl Streep, who's like, you know, the Betty Davis of our time, you know, when she's not even being considered as a favorite or odds-on favorite or spoiler or anything like that, then you've accomplished something. So I don't see any way that Helen Mirren can lose in this category.
Well, I agree with you there, and you know, you're in really good company there with Judi Dench and Meryl Streep, Kate Winslet to a lesser degree, and then of course there's Penelope Cruz, which, you know, people will have their opinions on. Personally, I mean, I have more of a penchant for comedy, and I think that comedy is a lot harder to do than intense drama, and
right.
I think that Meryl Streep, you know, is just more entertaining, is more believable in the role that she plays. But I'm going to have to agree with you. Helen Mirren just owned it.
Yeah, we're not taking anything away from Meryl Streep, but just I think it's Helen Mirren's year, and when you're on a roll, you're on a roll, so I'm predicting that she'll take it for the Queen. Now, Best Actor, we have a pretty much, with the exception of one nominee, we have pretty much a, I guess you would say, a safe bet. We got Will Smith, kind of a, you know, hey, welcome to the big leagues nomination. You got Ryan Gosling, a film I thought would never be recognized, Half Nelson. Way to go, Academy, on that one. You got Mr. DiCaprio breaking out from the heartthrob thing in Blood Diamond, and then you have Peter O'Toole, who's never won an Oscar before, and that's a crime in terms of my thoughts, in terms of actors that should have been nominated long, long ago. And if he didn't win it for Lawrence of Arabia, I don't see how he's going to win it for Venus, which is a movie that really hasn't generated a lot of buzz. So who does that leave? Forest Whitaker, Last King of Scotland. I think it's another no-brainer.
Well, Jeff, you know, I think you needed to get somebody who's just not going to agree with you. I sound like I'm just a brown noser here, but everybody's talking about Will Smith. I like Will Smith. I don't have a problem with him, and usually these kinds of roles are what get you Oscars. But I also think the kinds of roles that get you Oscars are the kinds that Forrest Whitaker's playing.
Exactly.
Idi Amin was such an animated character to begin with, and Forrest just nailed him.
I haven't seen the film as of yet, but yet another DVD release that I'm counting the days down until it arrives, and I hope it arrives in my mailbox, PR people, if you're listening. But just seeing the commercials with him and his mannerisms and the clips that I've seen on shows like Ebert and Roper and so on. He's just like mesmerizing. And I think he's really well respected in the industry. He's a really nice guy that's battled some demons of his own and has really come into his own as a superb actor. So, I am just a huge fan. I'm very biased, but based on the press and the reviews and the clips I've seen, Forrest Whitaker has got to take this award, and it'll be a terrific moment if he does, if his speech is as emotional as the one that he gave at the Golden Globes.
Well, he better have one ready, because I think he's going to be up there accepting it.
Well, here it is, the Big Kahuna, the Best Picture, 5 terrific nominees, and probably the toughest decision that I've had this whole show. I've gone over and over. I've gone over and over these 5 films, and every one of them is deserving in some form or fashion. Departed, Martin Scorsese at his peak. Letters from Iwo Jima, part of an amazing achievement by Clint Eastwood, starting with Flags of Our Fathers. Little Miss Sunshine, a movie that could and did take it all the way in terms of becoming an audience favorite. The Queen, a film that has brought together critics and audiences that have seen it. And then you have a movie like Babel, which makes a very powerful political statement. Every one of these movies, great in its own way. But I'm going to toss it to you. I want to hear what you think the best picture of 2007 will be.
Well, I gotta, they do this in the Oscars, and I gotta make my political statement right now. I was very upset that Larry the Cable Guy didn't get nominated for anything. Just nothing. Larry the Cable Guy, Best Actor, and Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector, Best Picture, just shunned. And it's monumental filmmaking like that. That's just the Academy is just afraid of.
Right,
but,
and
go ahead.
Don't let me finish. Your train of thought.
If we have to choose between this dreck that we've gotten now, these Scorsese's and these Eastwoods and that like, I'd say it would be hands down The Departed.
Really, that's a very gutsy choice. I think it is going to be between Babel and Little Miss Sunshine, because Little Miss Sunshine is one of those movies that's just united. It's rare when you have audiences and the like of the Academy voters kind of being charmed by a particular movie. But at the same time, every once in a while, they'll want to make a political statement. They'll want to nominate something that will be grandly looked upon, 20 years from now. And they probably want to make people forget about, the controversy last year between Brokeback Mountain and Crash. Very, very divided topic among film lovers like you and me and people in the industry. But I'm going to go out on another limb, even though I love Little Miss Sunshine, my favorite movie of last year. I'm going to go ahead and pick Babel.
Well, this is probably one of the closest races that I've seen in a long time. And you're even money on just about everything. I would think that merely because of what Eastwood has done in the past, people are just want to see something fresher. They just want to see someone other than Clint Eastwood get an Oscar. And as wonderful as Letters from Iwo Jima is, I just think I would agree with you. Little Miss Sunshine is refreshing. It's new and it's delightful. And The Departed I think it's going to run the table for Martin. It would be almost a shame to give him Best Director on a movie that he's not going to win Best Picture.
Scott, thank you so much. Folks, I don't want to get personal here, but this is one of the nicest guys I've ever, known in my life, and he's such fun to talk to, on a personal level about films like this or movies and what have you, and I just knew he was going to be a superb guest. Scott, thank you very much for coming to the show, and I hope to have you back again soon.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to do it, Jeff, and I'm so glad you asked me, and keep Larry the Cable Guy in mind. It's going to be a trilogy, and
right.
Maybe they're going to do to him what they did with the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, and if I may add in that vein, very disappointed that there was no honorary Oscar for Josh Hartnett.
It's just they're afraid. They're afraid of these visionaries.
Yeah, that's right. Embrace the change, Academy, because it's a coming. Oh, it's a coming. Once again, my very good friend Scott McCauley stopping by to talk Oscar 2007 with me. And can you guys say permanent guest co-host? Scott, you did a wonderful job. Thanks again for coming by, and looking forward to seeing you at the big to-do that I'm planning on Oscar night. And that's going to about do it for this very special episode of the show. But before we go, I want to talk a little bit about what's coming up on the DVD marquee. For those of you that have visited the page in the last few days, we have a brand spanking new look courtesy of our new webmaster guru himself, Mr. Ward Presley. Movie-wise, we've got a lot of great stuff on tap. Shut Up and Sing, a terrific, insightful documentary about the Dixie Chicks, who deservedly swept the Grammy Awards a couple of weeks back. The Prestige, the critically acclaimed second collaboration between Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale of Batman Begins fame. Half Nelson, with a career-making performance by Ryan Gosling, who, again, I am just so happy for him landing an Oscar nod for it. Cannot wait to talk about this movie. And we're also going to be playing catch-up with some of the better DVDs and performances that have appeared during what is normally a very slow, dreary period for home video releases. Anyway, but there has been some gold amongst the dreck. Films like Sherry Baby with the wonderful Maggie Gyllenhaal. Still can't believe she didn't pick up an Oscar nod for it. Mike Judge's shamefully mistreated Idiocracy, which I loved. The Illusionist, which we may compare side-by-side with the Prestige because of the shared subject matter. And since we're so close to March Madness time, for all you hoopsters out there, a documentary called The Heart of the Game, focusing on the world of female college basketball, which I've heard nothing but raves about. Not just female college basketball, but the movie itself. Anyway, but we also have more than DVD movie reviews on tap. We've also got a few special guests coming up. Our very first interviews. I'm so excited. Some movers and shakers in the industry, and we're kicking off those special guest spots off with Warner Brother Home Video's George Feltenstein, head of the catalog division. He's the guy who gets to help coordinate all those great reissues of classic movies like The Maltese Falcon, Singing in the Rain, Gone with the Wind, the original King Kong, and hundreds more. And we're very blessed to get George on the heels of his annual online chat with the Home Theater Forum, or good friends at the Home Theater Forum. So for those of you who aren't into the online chat kind of deal, George is going to blow you away with news of what's coming out of the Warner vaults throughout 2007. And we're also going to talk about his career, which goes back to the days of Laserdisc and beyond. And he'll be on our show this coming Friday. Great way to kick off the weekend. And if that's not enough, we have a brand new DVD review page coming up, a companion site to our podcast site, set to debut in the next few weeks. Can you tell I have a cold? Anyway, DVD Bijou will soon be the new DVD webpage on the cyberspace block, with news and reviews from some new writers, with new exciting voices, fresh voices, and a couple of so-called veterans, including yours truly. And we'll have more to say about our new review page in our next few shows, so listen up for that. Once again, Scott McCauley, thank you for stopping by. Thank you to our friends at the Home Theater Forum. And most of all, thank you out there for staying with us and keeping us going. We'll be back sooner than soon this week, I promise. You have my scout's honor that we will be back this week. We owe it to you. And if you thought 2006 was a promising year for us, this is the year in which we're going to take it to the great white way of podcasting. Once again, folks, thank you for listening. And I'm going to play this out with some music from a hot new band out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. I love them. They're called Infinite Orange, and you can get more information on them by going to myspace.com/InfiniteOrange. We'll also give them a plug on the website. Once again, folks, thanks for stopping by for another edition of the DVD Marquee. Bye.